Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Take off your sandals. This place is holy. As God revealed himself to Moses within that flame that blazed but didn't consume the bush, these words called Moses to attention. Psalm 46 puts it a different way. Be still and know that I am God. And then, of course, there's the Bible's go-to word for alerting us to God's presence and his gracious work in our lives. Behold! I think John 17 could use a behold as its opening. As we heard today's gospel reading, we were invited to sit at Jesus' side as with the rest of the disciples who ate and drank with him the night before his passion. Jesus was finished teaching. The time had come for him to fully obey the will of his Father by suffering death and condemnation for you and for me and for all people. But first, he prayed. Jesus had a habit of praying with his disciples. In fact, it was as natural for him to speak to God the Father as it was to his disciples. And so he simply did it right there with them. Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all flesh, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. We hear Jesus speak to God as a blessed child addresses its father with respect, love, and trust, asking God to help him to complete his mission of shining God's light in the world so that the people of the world might have eternal life. Later in Gethsemane, Jesus would struggle with this cup of suffering that he would drink for us. But here in the upper room, Jesus was calm, confident, and sure of his Father. He asked of his Father because he depended on him fully. All that Jesus had prepared to do came from God his Father. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. Does it sound strange to hear the Son of God speak to his Father with such dependence, such submission? Why would the one who was eternally one and co-equal with the Father and the Holy Spirit address the Father with such humble neediness? We come here to the mystery of the incarnation, to God the Son who became a human being, to reconcile us to the Father. God the Son humbled himself and became a human and accepted as his own our created status before God the Father. The Son of God redeemed sinners by becoming a man and living by faith and obedience in just the way that you and I were created to. Jesus asked of his Father. He trusted him completely. He prayed. Jesus prayed for his Father's help to glorify him by paving the way for fallen human beings to receive eternal life. By the authority the Father gave him, Jesus was conceived in Mary's womb by the Holy Spirit, born in Bethlehem, endured satanic temptation and human opposition, proclaimed God's kingdom and demonstrated its power, and now that the time had come for him to suffer and die on the cross. Jesus lived and died to save you. But none of his redeeming work for us was a solo effort. Jesus relied upon his Father's authority and prayed for his help to give us eternal life through his suffering and death. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. When Jesus prayed for us to receive eternal life, he asked for more than just some abstract kind of life after death. And this is eternal life. What do we expect it to be? What is eternal life? A reunion with those who have died before us? Yes. An existence free from pain and sin? Yes. A life where we forever do the things that we like to do. Fishing, baking, golfing, and singing? Probably not. How does our Lord, who prays for us to receive eternal life, describe it? Eternal life is life with God the Father, who so loved us that he sent his Son. It is life believing in God as our life. It is life reborn through Jesus by the Spirit, and lived as sons and daughters of God. It is knowing God for who he is, and fearing or revering him, loving him, and trusting him now on this earth and forever. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything that you have given me is from you. For I have given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them and have come to know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. By his life, his words and actions, by his death and resurrection and ascension to God's right hand, Jesus made and would still make God known to those who followed him. Jesus glorified God. That is, he perfectly revealed God the Father as he truly is. In the Son, the disciples saw God the Father, and they trusted his name and kept his word. They believed that Jesus was the promised Christ, the Son of the Father, their Savior. And they had belonged to the Father, and he gave them to the Son in faith, and Jesus gave them eternal life. And Jesus prayed for them. I am praying for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine. And I am glorified in them. And I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world. And I am coming to you, Holy Father. Keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. Jesus prayed for his disciples because though he had nearly completed the work the Father had given him to do, there was still much more work for him to do in and through them, his disciples. Looking ahead to his resurrection and his ascension, Jesus considered himself no longer in the world. Not so his disciples, though. After Jesus died, they would be scattered like sheep without a shepherd. They would hide from the authorities in fear. Then Jesus would rise and come to them and fill them with joy. From heaven, Jesus would send them the Spirit of truth. They would have eternal life. But they would remain in the world to glorify Jesus as he had glorified the Father. They would be tempted, persecuted, and even die as he did. So Jesus prayed for them, asking, Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. Kept in God's name to be one, as are the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Together, unified whole. Jesus prayed his church into being as he prayed this prayer. As heirs of eternal life, we know God the Father and Jesus Christ, whom he sent as our God with the Holy Spirit. Triune, a divine community. Jesus prayed for his disciples and for those who would believe in him through their witness, preached and written in Scripture, and that includes you and me, to remain one with him and with the Father and with the Holy Spirit and one with each other, together as God's children, just as the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are one in the Godhead. This is a glorious mystery, and one in which we can only believe. Because the history of the church in this world looks very little like the reality for which Jesus prayed. In this world, we know our sins. Though we believe in Jesus' forgiveness, those regrets come to us day by day. When we look around at and read the history of the church, we see false teachers, hypocritical disciples, divisive, selfish congregations, self-righteous denominations, power-hungry clergy, violence and hatred in God's name. And it all tempts us to despair of the eternal life that Jesus gives us. But we also hear Jesus pray through it all, "Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one as we are one." This prayer of Jesus reminds us how Jesus did complete the work the Father gave him to do for our salvation. It assures us that the name spoken over us in baptism keeps us for eternal life. It keeps us in the way of repentance each day, ever turning from our old selfish ways. It keeps us believing that the Father sent his Son to save us, and that we are God's through Christ, and he is ours. And it opens our eyes to the wonder that we are one with all those who believe in Jesus. Not perfectly so yet, but yes, one together, as are the persons of the Godhead. Listen to Jesus pray. Rejoice. Jesus still prays for you and for me. He lives forever to pray for us, to deliver us from evil, to receive us in his glory, and share that glory with us in the presence of his Father, our Father. Stand firm and steadfast, and pray to our Father with Jesus, asking for what he asks, that God would glorify us so that we may glorify God as we live in this world, that we may know and make God known as he really is, so that others may believe and be one together with us and with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit forever. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.